Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 1. As a minister of the gospel, you are called to follow Christ. Thank God for our leaders.
Thank God for our pastors. Thank God for the people God has brought in our lives. But never forget that you are called to follow Christ. It's important to know that. You're called to follow Christ. You're not called to perform. You're not called to be people's happy-go-lucky person. You're called to follow Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1, Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Be ye followers of me, even I also am a follower of Christ. That's something you need to realize. You know, in Matthew's Gospel chapter 28 verse 18, Jesus says, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth." He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, or better still, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe the things I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you until the end of the age." So we are called to be disciples of Christ. Was he a disciple of Christ? You mean a disciple of his word, a disciple of the gospel. You're a disciple of his passion. You're a disciple of his character. You're a disciple of his message. Not a disciple of his pictures, or the cross in your home, or, you know, just a disciple of you because you are a Christian. No. Disciple of what he has accomplished. His passion, his mission, his vision for the world. You become a student. As the word disciple, you become a learner of those things. One of the very vital characteristics of a disciple is that he's learning. Some say, "I'm learning." It's important for a young minister to understand that. One of the things I tell young ministers is, when an elderly minister is speaking, you keep quiet. You keep quiet. You have a lot to learn. You shut up. You keep quiet. You listen. You listen very well. You pay attention. You ask questions. You listen. You listen. You listen. Hallelujah. You follow what I'm saying? Listen. So, he says, "Be a disciple." In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, Peter puts the same truth, telling us to look at the example of Christ. 1 Peter 2, verse 22. I'll start from 22. Let's start from 21. "For even thereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously." He asked us to follow. And you and I, we have the capacity to follow him. Say, "I have the capacity to follow Jesus." 2 Corinthians 8:9, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich." He said that to the church in Corinth so that they can follow the same pattern of being sacrificial and giving. The man must know that, must realize that. From the point of grace, when you accept the gospel of Christ, you become an offering for the world. You become a servant. A servant. That's what you are. You are never going to be rewarded for being a son. You can only be rewarded for being a servant. Nobody is rewarded because you are born into a family. I'm born again. So all about you is the reality of the new creation. I'm born again. I know who I am. Walking in power. Walking in miracles. I live a life of favor. That's all. That's why some people, when you begin to sing some songs, they become uncomfortable. Come and take your place in me, in my life. Is it not within us? No, it's not. It's in your trousers. That's why 8 hours of prayer, you slept 7 hours. Are you sure it's in your life? It needs to take its place in your life. We're talking about service now. A servant. Service. You're not rewarded because you're a son. Because you're a new creature in Christ. Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No. That's not why you are rewarded. That's not why there's a reward. Because as he, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17. That's not why you are rewarded. Romans 5:17, because you have received the abundance of God, your gift of righteousness. That's not why you are rewarded. Now are we the sons of God? That's not your what you shall be. 1 John 3:2. That's not why you are rewarded. You are rewarded for service because you served the body of Christ. Like we read earlier today, Romans 12:1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Verse 2, the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is the good, acceptable and perfect will of God. Therefore I say to you, that no one should think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but every man, according as God to as dealt to each man the measure of faith, or a measure of the faith. And it says that we all have different offices. One, we are members one of another in the body of Christ. Then he begins to give us exhortations on service. So you are not rewarded because you are born again and you know your rights and privileges in Christ. No, it's because you served. Don't be amazed that somebody that doesn't know a tenth of what you know is pleasing God better. Because he's faithful with what he knows. I warn many of you, never take undue advantage of knowledge. That you can do and undo because you know. It's a trap. Knowledge puts you under much more responsibility. The more you know, the more you are responsible. Responsible in the local church. And some people will be, with everything you have been exposed to, with the things you have read, the things you have been taught, the things you have taught yourself, this is below you. Acts better than this. So we are called to follow Christ. And we can. God empowers us to partake of his instructions. He doesn't give you instruction that you pray for the ability. No. He gives you instructions based on the ability he had already provided. Paul says, we are able ministers of the new covenant. Say, we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers of the new covenant. So we are sufficient in God's ability. Never don't forget, you are not rewarded because you know who you are in Christ. I remember a fellow like that. The man was in Canada. So he said, I like your teaching. He heard a couple of things, 2011 or so. Then he came back and said, but there are some things you are now saying. I'm wondering, is it not legalism? I said, like what? He said, the emphasis you are giving on prayer, just prayer for long. He said, you are talking about fasting. Is that not works? I said, it is. The works of faith. So I just believe that as a believer, we have entered into our rest. What useless rest is that? You have forgotten. Imagine. Now, imagine if you take all the verbs away from the epistles. All the verbs. Do. Pray. Walk. Run. Fight. And just leave it. We are. We just become like statues. Say, I am in Christ. I am in Christ. So we're in Christ. You and Christ are just looking at your faces. Handsome Jesus. Handsome new creature. We are where we are. Amen. And that's all. Amen. Other men are going to hell. You know, we are in ourselves. You are in me. I'm in you. It's when people are a bit jobless. They begin to conjure revelation. I am God. Get him a doctor quickly. He knows he's not. It's a psychiatric disorder. There's an imbalance in the arrangement of his cells in his brain. Even if your spirit appears to say you are God, just laugh. You know you are not. Say, I'm God. I've gotten to the point where I function in divinity. Everything about me is divine. You're not foolish. You are just a fool. See, God cannot function without me. Somebody told me that. He said, they can't be Christ without us. I said, I said, the problem with many of you is that these truths are barely 18 months around you. These truths, and you know, social media is such a funny place. Everybody's just learning. They didn't search the scriptures. They punched it. Where were you? Where some of us will get a treasure of the Bible and will walk miles. Ha! Somebody said, Pastor, you can walk. Oh. I said, that's how I learned Christianity. We learn to walk. We walk in the spirit. I just walk. No money in my pocket. I'll just stay. And when I stay at bus stop at Kate's with those days, and I look at nobody I know in the federal mass. I just say, hey, my Jesus, this is time to pray. I just start walking to Kuru from Kate's. Just praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. It's not deliberate like that. Circumstantial, but it benefited me. I said, where were you? Jesus say, these things that we're coming to know. What are you knowing? People have gone ahead before you. You? What do you even know? What do you know? What have you known? Christ finished work. Because you are finished. That's all you know. Finished work of Christ. See, this truth is not even known by many people. Who is fooling you? Somebody that is fooling you is bigger than you, greater than you. Greater is he that is against you. Because what is wrong with you? You're getting pompous and foolish and silly. It's acceptable when you are exuberant and there's nobody around who can help you. There'll be prayers made for you. But when you now have people ahead of you who can say, cool down. So I know why I'm stirred in my spirit to be stupid. No. You calm down. Calm down. So say, no. This gospel must be heard everywhere. And it's at home. So the problem is that they don't have a job yet. You know you can be consecrated when you are jobless. I will follow you. Of course. What are you doing? If you don't follow, what else should you be doing? I will serve you for the rest of my days. But when you have a job, you are resuming. And they give you office work and the fires are piling. Then that song will make meaning. I will follow you. You see study, you see prayer, you see evangelism. I will serve you for. Then that song will make sense to you. You start a family, you have children. You see, I will follow you. You are into business. You are chasing contracts all over the place. You say, it's coming to me. If I sit where I am, I just attract. Emoji, wake up and smell the coffee. You have prayed in tongues, spoken all the words. You go to the office, sorry, we have given to somebody else. And everything disappears. All your confession just go, pyam! And you are walking. You don't even feel like speaking in tongues. You're just going, you just feel discouraged. Just something else. Then you are learning consecration. Are you following what I'm saying? You're learning consecration. Hallelujah. So when elderly people are talking, listen to them. Oh. Listen very well. Listen well. Glean from the experience. You may not, but like you say, you don't have to follow a man's doctrine. But you can learn from his faith. His commitment. A few times I spoke with Professor Badariga, we spoke. And I saw the commitment the man had for the gospel. Ah! Things will come by. You listen well. Some of you that listen well, you are saying, sir, something you preached in so and so place. I checked the original language. You see, you are going to hell. You will go. What's wrong with you? Listen. Glean from the experience. Because it's the same road you are going to take. Are you following what I'm saying tonight? So in ministry, we follow God, Christ. We follow Him. You serve. I repeat myself, nobody is rewarded because he's born again. It's service. What have you done in the kingdom of God? What are you doing in the body of Christ? Not that what you are doing every day is wake up and be going around people's walls on Facebook. Are you now saying? That's all. When your data runs out, you start to text Airtel. Give me credit. First thing we need to learn when you are following Christ, listen very well. I'm going to give you things you are going to watch. Watch how you listen. Watch how you listen. I've interacted with many people to the glory of God, and I say this without boasting. It's over 22 years now. Over 22, going to 23, that I started training ministers. There are a few things I don't know. Over 22. This is the 22nd year I've been teaching in Bible schools. So there are things I've seen. Earlier than that, I was serving in PFN committees. I've seen things like that. See young men burn and burn out. I've seen people full of the word with correct doctrine. Ah! When they teach, Paul will say, I forgot to say this one. And today, not trying to scare you, they are not doing anything again. I tell many young folks, I see the models. Nothing new. Watch how you listen. Some don't know how to listen. Watch how you listen. Mark 4:24. It says, take in what you hear. For the measure. And before it says, the measure of thought and study you give to what you hear is a measure of the virtue that's returned to you. You learn to listen well. One of the things my father did for when I was younger, he watched something I did. Somebody came to talk to me. And so as the person was talking, he discovered how I listened. He now called me. He said, well, you're a pastor. I said, yes. He said, there's a way you listen to that guy, you are not paying attention to him. That's true. He now told me his own story that, you know, I'm your father. And we have this trait of dismissing people quickly when they're not intelligent. He said, it's wrong. He said, you should circuit yourself and not learn much. I mean, I took the counsel. I said, learn to listen well. When you are listening, you are not talking. Listen. Learn to listen. Some talk too much. You say something, they give you four answers. There are some of you, when you go to our church, says community, very humble, meek and mild, like a lamb taken to the shearers. Almost saying nothing. After a while, before they say something, you answer three times. There's trouble. Learn to keep quiet and you are listening. When you are not clear, ask the question so that you hear it again. Learn to listen. Learn to listen. In Luke chapter 10, we checked that yesterday. You know some people, as they are in this place, as they are hearing the teaching, they are answering their phone. They are texting. There is a problem. Why can't you just take this time off? I remember one time I fell ill. After so much labor and stress, I moved from meeting to meeting. I went, boom! I saw two doctors in 1 week. Not just I saw two doctors, I was placed on admission. And the doctor said, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just that your body shut down. So I said, I had a convention to preach. The man looked at me without missing words. He said, step out of there and you'll be no more. I believe that was the voice of God. No more is actually no more. People that will tell you, I like that man of God. He's given to the things of God. They will say, oh, he's gone. No. And they move on with their own lives. What I was trying to say was this. Whether you liked it or not, you shut down. So, what is difficult in taking 1 week in 52 weeks and just shut down and come to a place where all you are doing is praying, listening, is for your good? Some of you, your phone is your problem. I was looking at now, you see. Who is really doing you? Take this week out and listen. Do you know that you cannot look up and down at the same time? The moment you are answering that call, you are missing an information. The moment you are talking to your friend, some of you came here, you have your sugar buddy. Sugar brother, sugar sister. You're still going around. Talking to yourself. How are you? Yeah. That was a great time, right? We had a great... What is wrong with you? What is your problem? What is the issue? Look at your listening. Luke 10. Jesus went to the house of Martha. And when he got there, Martha began to prepare food for him. So I said, food for Jesus. There's nothing as excusable as the fact that you are actually preparing food for Christ. So what are you doing? I went to the market. Jesus is coming to my house. So what are you going to prepare? A kokore? Why are you laughing? What's that for? I said, I'm preparing this, I'm preparing that. She's not preparing her teaching notes to take notes. She has gone to buy food, bought food, bought the head of a lizard, bought the body of an elephant. This man coming to your house is the word. I'm not saying she's not prepare food. Prepare your notes. Get ready to learn. Just say, oh, welcome, Lord, Rabbi. Oh, take care. So you say, put on TV. Told you what? Jesus is in the house. Was in the kitchen. Sweating. And Jesus was teaching, as his custom was. And she was hearing his voice. She was hearing him say, Isaiah 4:5. She was hearing him. Just, and she was even singing, I love Jesus. You are everything to me. And he's there in the sitting room and she's not attempting. You are all the world to me. See? There is nothing, there is no one who compare. As she's hearing this, I take pleasure in cooking for you. At the point that this meeting is getting too long now, where is Mary? Rabbi, sorry to interrupt your teaching meeting, but Mary, can she come and just help me because I'm preparing your favorite meal? He said, Martha, Martha. See, today we still call some sisters Martha Ministry for such reasons. Martha, Martha, thou are troubled about many things. Do you know, there was nothing she was doing that was wrong. What was just wrong was she never put priority. Priority. Those of people who serve in church and they don't hear the word. Not in this ministry, never. Thou art troubled about many things. One thing! So I'll say one thing. One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that path. And it shall never be taken away from her. We are together. We must come for a meeting together. We must live together. As who? Are you identified? You come together, we live together. Some of you were even trying to be in someone's chariot. What is your problem? Watch how you listen. Check your listening. Check your priority. Watch how you listen. Gauge how you used to listen when you were a younger Christian. Zealous. You pay attention. There's no better gauge than yourself. Don't allow people that listen to you. Don't allow them to gauge you for you. Don't do it. Gauge yourself, yourself. What are you listening? Number two. What's your devotion? Things you do privately. How devoted are you to basic spiritual activities and exercise? Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Do you fast privately? You fast, do you pray on your own? Do you do vigils on your own? I just want to do a vigil. I just want to study on my own. Not the one that they will call you at 4:25. Sister Mukwe, are you awake? Praise the Lord. I'm here. And you set an alarm yourself by 5:20. You sleep off. My father, Clara, did you pray? And you are lying. Do you know that Yorubas will say, is in your body? It's in your body. If you are lying about your prayer life, lying about is in your body, one day you will lie again. Just like someone is cheating his class. They do the exam for you. They did primary school. They did secondary school. They did university. You graduate. And you now had a degree in medicine, not medicine, medicine. And you now come out. Okay, good. Go and let them come and treat the patient for you. The guy says, I have a headache. You bring that and you die. There's a limit to how lying can carry you. If you don't have it, you don't have it. If you can't pray, you can't pray. If you don't study, you don't study. If you don't know, you don't know. If you don't serve God, you don't serve Him. Package it till the package tears off and it's expired. What's your devotion? Do you have time to just wait on the Lord? All you do is just pray and study on your own. Vigils. I ensure personally in a month, minimum 5 days a month, I do vigils. Minimum. Stay awake. Brother Hagin told us years ago, be a man of the night. Simple. Some of you can sleep for the body of Christ. When the duty crosses you, it's a greater glory. Devotion. Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Say they shall mount up wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word renew, the strength there, is the Hebrew word yakwah. It means to exchange strength. So verse says to replace strength. You need to replace strength. You need to. They say it's an energy. Yes, look at some of these boys. These are things we have been teaching for over 20 something years. Energy is always working. It's there. It's working, I know. But you have to pray always. You have to minister to the Lord. You have to be filled with the Spirit always. Wait upon the Lord. Vigils. At times you just spend maybe in 2-3 months. Just say, let me just take this weekend off. Away from pressures, away from life's issues. I'm just standing there, just having a time of devotion. Devotion. Check your devotion. Are you active or are you effective? Check your devotion. Number 3. Check how you treat people. In following Christ 1, we learn how to listen. We learn how to be devoted. Times of prayer, times of study, times of fasting. Not fasting because you are looking for husband or wife, or children, or child, or job. No. Just a time you are just devoted to the Lord. Listening to God's word, reading scriptures, praying in the Holy Ghost, spending time in praise and worship. Just moments of private moments of ministering to the Lord. How often do you have that? Many of us have gotten so used to putting MP3 in your ears. Listen to songs all the time. Put it down. Sing. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Listen to MP3. No! Spend time and just sing in the Spirit. Spend time and just, you know, those moments of devotion. Something you used to do before you became a pastor. Now you're a pastor, you are living on the pulpit. Your life, you are living off the pulpit. Everything about you is on the pulpit. No. Check your devotion. Number 3, check how you treat people. Christ is about people. At any point in time when you discover that you are now contemptuous of people, prideful, and now acting like an exclusive person, something is wrong. Little foxes, the Bible says, they ruin the vine. Little foxes. How do you treat people? How do you value people? How? Watch it. I'll talk about this more tomorrow. Watch your words. I'll mention that a lot tomorrow. Do you know the life of faith is life of words? Walking in love is in words. Prayer is in words. So, don't use your words carelessly. About believers, about people that are over you in the Lord. It's a spiritual principle. If you use your mouth to say anything rubbish about people that God is sending you to God has sent to bless you, you are put yourself in a mix. Don't anybody deceive you. Don't. Watch what you say. Watch it. We'll look at that tomorrow. What are you treat people? How do you treat the church? How? The way you treat the church is the way you treat Christ. All of a sudden you despise the church. All of a sudden you despise the church. You just attend the services, but you don't treat the people of the body of Christ with respect and honor. Something is wrong, sir. Your fervent love for Christ can only be visible in your fervent love for the church. What are you treat people? All of a sudden you now talk anyhow to believers. Anyhow. And before you know it, you see unbelievers and you are respecting them. There was somebody in our ministry. I hosted some people from my class set. So there was one of my classmates, of course, an influential person in the country. As the person saw, was greeting the person with such awe and reverence. I said, you don't greet your pastors this way. How? You don't even know the guy. Because you saw the car. And of course, the way the person was received. I said, something wrong with your spiritual life. That's why shaking like a gamma lizard. Brother, something's wrong. Sister, something's wrong. You treat the church with respect. Watch how you treat the body of Christ. If you hold the body of Christ in contempt, you hold Jesus in contempt. And it starts in your local church. Years ago, when I would travel to some countries, because I was working with the organization then, and we saw many African presidents. I go to a nation, and they would treat you with all respect. I went for a meeting recently, and they said they were going to wow me with its convoy and security. I said, it was a presidential guard that took me 2004. Presidential guard. I go to those nations. I ask, where is the church? Ask the question, where is the body of Christ? Any church around here? And I go there and fellowship with them. Treat them with respect. The church is my family. The church is home to me. I respect the body of Christ. I respect the local church. Believers, they are rich or poor, great or small. So people don't stay in our church, this community church, because we don't give them any special recognition. If I hear in your mouth, call somebody doctor. Doctor, call. Look if you see me. Brother or sister, if you don't like it, find another church. There are many in Lagos. Even on our street, we have many. Your car, your house, your money stays with you. Cares. No one don't like it. Guy told me I will be coming to your church. He came the first time. He saw I treated him like every other person. How are you? How are you? How? As long as I can't feel bad. You owe me. No, half you. Treat the church well. Don't treat somebody better because the person has money. Some of you, very bad habits. Because you see someone and you see the person's car or car keys alone, you're already shaking under the anointing. Car keys! I bless you. It's nice to have you in this church. We have been waiting for you. You are. Lord have mercy. Treat the church with respect. Age. Social status. No issue. Some don't like it. It's like, but they should recognize me. So I told me, I'm just looking at how I can deploy my personality or, you know, my contacts in the business world. I said, take it, don't bring it here. So I'm just looking how we can, you know, if this is just, they will say your services, for example, are long. You know, some people are very funny. I said, do you know how long we started this church? When did you arrive? Last month. You want to tell us to do something? So say, this World Teachers Conference, is the prayer not too long? Did they force you? Were you backed here? I did not want you here. Go away! This is our 20th year. 20. I'm not sure you were on the road to Damascus at all at that point. No encounter. No sun. No light. Go away! Say, I'll bring my exam. No, you don't have to come. You don't have to come again. No, I didn't mean that. No, you don't have to come again. Oh. God, I can't go away. You can't buy me. With what? Treat the church well. You see people in the church, greet them well. When they greet you, answer back. They greet you. Just walk past. And you will see a governor and you'll be running. You'll be running, your shoes will come up. Ah, your excellency. You're not well. Treat the church with respect. Honor. Also, treat the lost with passion. Jesus gave a parable in Luke 15. How he was passionate about the salvation of men. Treat the church well. Treat those the church is sent to. They were saved with respect, with passion. What are you treat people? What are you handle them? Number four. What's your anxiety about the future? When you see that you are too anxious about the future, you are no longer walking in God's plan. One of the ways you will know that you are walking in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ is that you are not under pressure about the future. Matthew 6:34. Are you there? Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. James 4. Verse 13. Go to now. He that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and yet gain. 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For what you ought to say is that the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. It's not saying that, you know, there's a fatalistic thing about your life. It's just saying, look, understand that you don't have so much in control. And therefore, don't get too anxious and plan and just overtly worried. For you know you're under pressure. Pressure, and you know, we started with this life has its own pressures. In primary school, they push you to secondary school. Secondary school, they push you to university. As you're in university, they're even trying to collect masters for you are yet to graduate for you. Start to ask you questions. Where is she? Who is she? Who is he? Who are they? What's your plan? You are yet to finish one day. They're asking for the plan for another one. And so on and so forth. You get married. Say, when is the first child coming? You know, this is precious. Have to ease yourself of those things. And do it consciously. Learn or watch the your anxiety about the future. And lastly, I close before me. Watch your consecration. When I say this, I mean the decisions you have made in time past. Are you still praying like you wanted to? Are you still committed to soul winning like you said when you were in school? Are you still giving to the gospel? When you had when all you had was pocket money and allowance from home, you were giving so well. You could drop the whole thing. Sometimes you could almost compromise some other monies just to show the gospel is preached. Now you are comfortable. Now you are earning salaries. Now you are getting a lot of money from your business, from your contract. Now you are getting flows here and there. But the commitment is not the same again. You are putting that money in church, but the commitment is not the same again. Look at your prayer life before. You're so committed to praying for your pastor, the church, praying for so many people. Now you have reduced it. You made a vow. I'll be buying when the materials were being sold. Now, ministry, for example, you bought all the CDs. You ensured you bought this one. Now to just copy teachings is almost like a burden to listen. It's like stress. Something is wrong. Know it quickly. What I've observed is this. A If you spot something wrong and you don't consciously adjust, it grows. After a while, you will just be like a dicycle. After a while, you begin to look for excuses why it is no longer wrong. And when that happens, you will now find Job's friends quickly around you. They will just come around. Watch people that always come around you when you are not as fervent. They are agents. No agents. MFM, what do you call that? Mount Zion movie. Officer is an agent. Every time your prayer life is not solid, the person just starts calling you often. Never used to call you. Just send me text. Check it. What's your consecration? Number one, what the way you listen? What's your devotion? What are you treating people? The body of Christ and souls that Jesus sent you to reach. Four, what how anxious you are about the future? And finally, watch your consecration. I close by saying the words Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Do you have anything you are keeping to the end? Is there anything you are keeping to the end? Is there anything you have decided to fight to the end? Is there anything you want to get to the end of? Or you are just active in church, jumping from pillar to post? You are not committed definitely to keep the faith, to keep the gospel, to keep your consecration, to keep your prayer life, to keep your service, your ministry. You know, they're just... So young minister learn to heed warnings. Heed warnings. I watch people over the years. They won't just listen to warnings. Wonderful sister, wonderful teacher of God's word, excellent teacher. Had a vision one day and I showed her. I said, look, this and this and this and this and this is what I saw about you. Then you should spend some time and just ensure that you watch it. She took it for granted. Too bad. Take things for granted. You know, it's not everything you listen, you hear. If you are here now, I'm teaching for, it's not everything you hear. God speaks to us all the time, but it's not everything you are going to hear. Sometimes you may lose concentration. Sometimes you may be busy doing something. Sometimes just because you are human. But others can bring it to your remembrance. You must be smart enough to listen to them. 1994, God spoke to me. This is personal, but I share with others. He said, if you want to know how to listen to me, learn to know how to listen to men. Listen well. One of the things I don't take for granted is I listen very well. I tell you, a good teacher, I'm not a teacher anyway, but a good teacher is a good listener. Learn to listen very well. Once again, watch how you listen. Watch your devotion. Watch how you treat people. Watch how anxious you are about tomorrow. Watch your consecration. Are you still keeping it? Let us pray.